let's all get together really close. You know, there's solidarity. It shows something. It shows the world that right now we're together at this minute. I want to start off with a prayer, asking for God's blessings upon this gathering, and of course to remember the 1.5 million souls who were lost. Hankutyan nahadag nerun habigyan mena mech sirderu mech Tuzdor vor ame vargyan menki prev hayer Imanang te inche anartharutyuna yev baykarenk Entem ayd anartharutyuna vor verchaves desnenk ner tagë. Lord our God, we ask for your blessings upon this gathering. We ask that you keep us vigilant in our struggle for peace and equality and justice. In all things we ask that you, that we remember in our hearts especially the 1.5 million Armenians who were lost at the hands of the Ottoman Turks. And in all things we give you praise and thanksgiving. Amen. I want to just say how happy I am to see all of you. I know it's a really rough week here at USC. We're at the last week, and I wish you the best, because what you do in this next week, what you do here in your life at USC will affect not only you, but I hope at some point us as Armenians. We're standing here today, fresh in our mind is the victory of yesterday. It was Easter. And on that day we remembered that Christ was victorious against death. And probably even more fresh in the minds of most people this week has been this struggle for this young little boy named Elian Gonzalez. I thought it was very interesting how with all of the injustice in the world, how it's so easy for the media to pick up on something that is sensational and kind of focus in on that. And here we are as Armenians with 85 years under our belts, in other words, 85 years since that tragedy, and yet we're still struggling and we're still saying, will somebody notice? Can you imagine if one person was able to focus in the way they did on Elian Gonzalez, on what has happened to us as Armenian people? And I say this because picture, did you all follow that Elian Gonzalez when they went into his house and they took him at gunpoint? And then one of the marshals said, "We're taking you home to Papa." And all of a sudden, Elian Gonzalez was relieved. He felt a little better. And I thought to myself, just exactly this same weekend, 85 years ago, there were children being taken from their parents. There were children that were just forcibly taken, and nobody said, "We're taking you to Papa. We're taking you to the desert. We're killing you. We're taking you away from Papa, away from Mama." And what happened? As a result of that, you saw that systematically they removed Armenians, not from somewhere else, not from somewhere else, but right from our homeland, right from that base of Mount Ararat where we inhabited for the past 3,000 years as Armenians. They took us out and they said, "You're leaving this area." And 1.5 million people later, there we were, standing around, saying that, will the world recognize what happened to us? Haytad. Where is the Armenian question today? I say this because each of us, and I don't know how many of you recognize it, but each of us has been touched by this genocide. If not you, it's part of the Armenian psyche. I grew up with those horror stories that my grandparents, they would cry as they would say it. You'd have to struggle and take them out. My grandmother, who talked about her little Elian, 2-year-old, my uncle, who she had to take in her arms on the desert, marching down there with the Turks standing there, raping the women, killing the men. And then when her 2-year-old son died of malaria because there was no water, because there was no sanitation, she had to dig his own grave. She had to dig her child's grave in the desert, no marker, nothing like that, and place him in there. And I want you to think about this for a minute, because when we talk about that generation that did that, they were no older than you. They weren't grandparents then. They were 15, 16 years old when they were getting married. They were 18 years old. They were your age when they were walking out. Picture that. At your age, to be told that you can no longer have the comforts because you are different, you are Armenian, you are leaving. Now this is the big insult. Not that this happened, but the big insult is that no one is recognizing it. And we add to that. You know, if you add salt to the wound, what happens to it? It gets even worse. It festers. And for 85 years we've been claiming. And you know what we do? We get together at different functions. And we say, we're going to go up to the Capitol building. We're going to go to the president. We're going to demand that they recognize genocide. And what do? They slap us in the face. Oh yeah, you Armenians. You know why? Because there's only 7 million of us. In the whole world. 7 million of us. You know that there's more people coming in and out of Los Angeles every morning? If you took all the Armenians in the world, they wouldn't fill up Los Angeles. We're pretty small people. But you know what? There's something that we have, and we haven't tapped into it. And you, as college students here at one of the finest universities there is, have that ability to tap into that. And that's your creative energy. That's your creative resources. Because when the Bible says God created you in His image, it doesn't mean you look like God. It means He gave you the power to create, to take nothing and make something. That's what our grandparents, our great-grandparents did. They had nothing, yet they came here to this country or to other countries, whether it was in the Middle East, whether it was Europe. From nothing, they created something. They gave you a life. And today we stand here recognizing not only the genocide that happened, but recognizing also our obligation, responsibility as Armenians today. If you close your eyes, there is nobody else in this world who is going to care about Armenians except us. They really don't care. When the president refuses to say genocide, do you think he really cares about the Armenians? When giant Turkey is standing over there, when they need those NATO bases to go over the fly zone in Iraq, do you think that they're going to jeopardize that because of us? But you know what? We do have a power. We have something even greater. We have that energy to create, and something deep down when we say we were the first Armenian Christians to be able to take that message and to move that into our lives. Because you see, the power of Christ is not that something happened on a Sunday or that He was resurrected. He preached one thing. He preached love. And you have that ability to love, to do something for other people, and then people start recognizing it. Today in Pasadena, we had a blood drive. While every other Armenian went out to Montebello or went out into the churches and played this lip service to hold hands and say, we are united and so on, and tomorrow, April 25th, they won't even look at each other. In Pasadena, we stood there. We stood there and we gave blood. And some Armenian man came. It was so beautiful. He came up to me and he said, Berai, will this blood go to Armenian people? And I said, Heidi, I don't know if it's going to go to Armenian people. It may even help a Turk. I don't even know that. But you see, in that small little gesture that we did, there are some lives to be saved. And there is nobody who's going to argue with that. When Pasadena Star News last year covered it, they gave a description of what happened on the blood drive, and then they added to that, because Armenians gave blood against their will in 1915, today the Armenians are giving to help others. And you have that in your ability. You have that right. You have that responsibility to take that love in your heart and to transfer that wherever there is injustice. Whatever is happening today in Africa, in the Middle East, and even here in America, right down the street in South Central, when there is injustice and you as Armenians close your eyes, we as an Armenians close our eyes, what do you think we're doing? We're doing the same thing that the world is doing to the Armenians. We're closing our eyes to justice. You have that ability. I see that amongst you. You have the law students, you have the business students, you have the minds, you have the creativity to take this education and move it in a direction that can help people. And so my friends, today, as your chaplain, on this 85th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, I think Simon said it so beautifully. He says, we're not just here to cry over spilt milk, if I could paraphrase you. But we're here to also remember what we can do. In other words, a celebration that we are living. I said a few minutes ago, we just celebrated Easter. They went into the tomb of Christ and they found it empty. And there was somebody in there, he says, why are you searching for the living one among the dead? And I say the same thing about Armenians. Why do we search among the dead people for something that is living? Armenians are living. You're Armenian. You're creating. You're making something of your life. The minute you stop creating, that's when the genocide has finished. That's when the genocide is actually real. The minute you start moving forward and saying that I am an Armenian, I am proud of it, and I'm doing something not just for myself, not for something in my pocket, but for the rest of the world to spread that love, that time, those people who died did not die in vain, because they know that there is something greater to being Armenian than just the numbers that we talk about today. So I want to bless all of you and wish you all the best in your schooling over here. Just remember, every little thing you do makes those people who died a little bit prouder that they didn't die in vain, but they gave themselves for something very noble. God rest the soul of all of our martyrs, and God bless each and every one of you. Amen.